Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year to you. May you see many more. We're going to read today the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 30 through 31. Then after that, we go to 1 John, chapter 4, verse 20. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Hello again. January the 1st, 2017. An awesome day. Have you all done it yet? Made those New Year's resolutions. I dread, this is my first time giving a message on the 1st of December, on the 1st of January, sorry. And I dread giving this message. Why? Because from way back, it seems as though there's only one thing to talk about on this specific day. And that's this resolution thing, right? Can you hear me? For some reason, it doesn't feel okay. Why? Because we all know about these resolutions, right? Do you know what the number one New Year's resolution is? You hear them? They're the ones who make those resolutions, right? Lose weight. I tell you. Yeah, that's the number one. And the weird thing is that there are a whole lot of different resolutions, but as I was preparing this message, I said, let me take a look and see if there's any type of statistic about New Year's resolution. And do you know what I found? A bunch. Do you know that 55% of Americans when they make their resolutions, they don't keep it? 55%. But on the other hand, you have 45% that do, right? We always look at the negative, right? 61% of people who are in their 20s, they're not successful at keeping the resolutions either. Them young people, they can't keep their resolution. That's what the old people say, right? Do you want to hear the numbers for the older people? When I say old, I talk about them people who are over 50. 86% of people over 50 don't keep the New Year's resolution. You bad. I wouldn't tell you what she said. I wouldn't tell you that she said they forgot. Maybe, right? I know of people who go out and they say, okay, we're going to lose weight this year, and they go out and they purchase all the nice equipment, right? And new suit, I mean, they're looking good. And then after the first 2 minutes, what in the world am I doing? Right? So these things happen. But today I'm not going to stress on those resolutions, really. Right? If you remember 2 weeks ago, I asked for volunteers. And during that time, there were about 35 to 40 people who came out here and volunteered for one resolution, just one. You all remember what that was?
Yes.
Someone tell me what that was. I just want to hear if them old people remember, right? What was that resolution? I mean, that's what it is, right? I hear whispers. One disciple. That's it. One disciple. So that's the only resolution that I'm going to be focusing on today. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how simple it is, right? How simple it is to just start 1. Simple number. They say 1 is a lonely number, but really, without 1, you can't have 2, right? Without 2, you can't have 5. Without 1, you cannot have 5, right? It takes 1. Just 1. So today, if you want, if you're one of those people that want a title for the message, you can title this one, A New Year's Resolution. Just 1. Because that's what we're about this year. Just 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we are gathered to you on this day. This day that you have chosen, Father, on this, the first day of 2017. What better place to be in your presence, great God in heaven, and we thank you for this opportunity. And what we pray now, God, is that you would open our hearts and our minds to take in the word that you have prepared. I pray, great God, that you would remove me out of the way. Remove my opinions and let what is said, great God in heaven, be your words. What do you want your people to hear today? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most frequent stories told in the Bible is one of those stories that we'll be addressing. It's the story of Christ when he went, he was going through Samaria and he met this woman at the well. Remember that story? Yeah. In the opening verses, we heard about the love of God. And here in this particular story is a demonstration of that love of God. It's a demonstration of who that love is directed towards. Everyone. Even them Samaritans, even them people, right? Even that neighbor, you know that neighbor that keeps cutting his grass and throwing it over on your side? Even that neighbor. Even that person in the cubicle next to you, you know who I'm talking about? Don't call any names. Right? Even that person in the cubicle next to you, even that person at the back of the class, right? Even that person. You see, the story about the Samaritan woman is a story that didn't begin at the well. This story began way before the well. If you would remember the story, Jesus came up to the well and he asked the Samaritan woman for some water. But this story was just a microcosm of a bigger issue in society. The story actually began close to 950 years prior to that. If you already remember, the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and God appointed them land, right, in that area, in the promised land. He appointed each of the 12 tribes a specific location. Remember? Am I talking to people in here? Do we remember? Right. And what happened is that God had said that, okay, here's what. I want you to settle here. I want you to settle there. Bap, 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 bap. And literally what happens is that at that time, Israel was two nations. One was called the North Kingdom, Kingdom of the North, and the other one was called? Good. Kingdom of the South. Right? Are you all with me? Okay. So we had the Kingdom of the North and the Kingdom of the South. But what happened was, in the Kingdom of the North, there's an area that became known as the capital, this area called Samaria. Right? Follow me. Samaria. Then what happened is that the people in that area, the Kingdom of the North, that is, we're talking about the entire Kingdom of the North, in the Kingdom of the North, what happened is that people started to, you know, go after other gods. They started to do what was wrong in the eyes of God. So much so that they were doing so much wrong that there were people who left that Kingdom of the North, left their tribes to come down to Judah, the Kingdom of the South, and settle there. Now, the year was 720 BC when Assyria came. And Assyria basically took them into captivity, took the people out of the Kingdom of the North, population transfer, and then replaced them with 5 different tribes of people. Now, when the people of Israel returned, those who were original settlers of Samaria found that there were 5 other tribes of people who were there. And what they did is they started marrying into these people. They started doing the customs of these individuals. They were believers, sorry, not believers, they were Jews, practicing the ways of Judaism, but yet with a little twist. The kingdom of the south considered considered the people from Samaria. They didn't even consider them to be real Jews, really, because of the intermarrying. I mean, and their religion wasn't really all that. It was bad. It was a perversion of what happened, right? Of what it was supposed to be. Nowhere close to what it was supposed to be looking like. And the Samarians were basically hated by the Jews. So much so that if the trip that Jesus was making, right, because he was going from Judah into land in the north. I keep hearing whispers like you're not sure. Samaria. He had to pass through Samaria to go up to land in the north, the northern area, the northern kingdom, right? So what happens now is that just that journey, we are not sure exactly how long it was. It could be anywhere from 70 to 200 miles, right? But basically what happens is that there was one straight road, right? That'll take you up from the south to the north. But what happened is that during that time, the people of Samaria were hated so much that the Jewish people would cross over. They would head west, cross over the Jordan River, and then head north in order to go up to the northern area. After they passed the land of Samaria, then they would cross back over, heading west into the area that they were going to. Going way out of their way just so that they will not have to walk through the land of Samaria and become contaminated. Can you understand the hate that somebody would have to have for a particular people so that you don't even have to walk close to their land? Because you fear that they're going to contaminate me, right? So here I am, a man of God, and I'm not going to go into that person's house because I'm going to catch what they got. As Mike Tyson would say, ludicrous. Right? And quite often we have a lot of believers, a lot of brethren, who are of that opinion. That if I mix with the world, right? If I go and hang out with them, if I rub shoulders with them, if I go to the ball game with them, if I go help them in their yard doing whatever they're doing there, then their evil is going to rub off on me. And my question is, are you that weak? That you're allowing someone else to rent space in my head? You know? I'm just asking questions, okay? So with this in the backdrop now, I want to pick up the story. The story as told by video. And get an idea as to what was this conversation really like? Because I believe that this conversation went on quite a long period of time. But I'll tell you why later I believe that. But this is what was captured by modern technology. I keep getting signs from behind there. What are you saying, Lisa? Yeah. Show the video. Samaritan woman met this gentleman at the well. Samaritan woman came to the well for a purpose. Like anyone of the day, she went to that well to get water. She met Christ. Christ offered her a living water. You know, water does something for us. We can't live without water. But when Christ gave her and offered her living water, she left. Let's pick up the story in chapter chapter 4, verse 27. If you have your Bibles, that's fine. Or you can, scripture should be coming up here. In verse 27, it says, "Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman." They were surprised because this is a Samaritan woman. I mean, you shouldn't have to be talking to them people. And she was a woman too. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" It would have been a logical question, right? Why? Why are you talking with these people? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Could this be the Christ? Now, what do you notice? Immediately, what happens? She left her water. The same thing that she came there for, she left it. Why? Because she got better water. Water is our life. And you see, sometimes there's a lesson here for us, I believe, that when we encounter God, when we encounter Christ, you know, sometimes our life takes a different turn. Prior to encountering Christ, what happens? We run out and we find those things that make us happy, right? We go after the education, which is fine, don't get me wrong, right? The things that propel us through life, those things that motivate us, those things that keep us going, for some reason, after we meet Christ, they don't seem to be as important as Christ is. She came there for water. Water is life. She's living out in the desert. The water is life. But she found Jesus, and then what did she do? She turned to Jesus. Priorities change. So my question, of course, is, what did you have to give up? What change happened in your life? How did you change, or how did Jesus change you? How did your outlook change? Did it? Because it is impossible to really come into the presence of Christ and not have a change. Because once Holy Spirit starts working on the inside, right? Once Holy Spirit starts working, it's like you can't help yourself. Change does happen. Later on in that, verse 29 says, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." Now, I get the impression that this conversation went on for a period of time, because for Christ to tell her, I don't think that she means literally everything, but the highlights of her life. So they spend a little bit of time talking. And what is this whole life about? This life is about relationship. It's about people. It's about talking with people. Because the question comes up, Christ says, you remember in that scripture, he says, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel unto all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." You all remember that, right? Okay. Now, I guarantee you that there are some people who ask the question, who do I talk to? I'll touch on that a little later. You all just hate when I do stuff like that, right? You're waiting for the answer, and it's like, okay, I'll talk about that later. Verse 29, it says that she went out, and she told people, "Come see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" All she did is she told a simple story. And what was her story? "He told me everything about myself." And for her, that was enough. And then she went out and she told others. She got that living water. She knew where the living water came from. Right? And she knew that it was available. And this good news, what she did, she took it up and she went to everyone she knew. Now, here's a little part of the story that I'm a little bit I'm not really too sure about. The question always comes up, well, why was she the only one at the well? Anyone has the answer to that? What's that? Right. The other woman did not want to associate with her. Why? You see, we assume that this lady was a lady of ill repute. Okay? And even if she was, I don't know. I never met her. Okay? Even if she was a lady of ill repute, it just shows how more important and how more, I'm missing a word here, fill in the blank, right? How more humble this lady was. Because those same people that didn't want to mess with her, those same people that didn't want any part of her, those same people that gave her the cold shoulder treatment, oh, look at her. Oh, she thinks she's all that. Or whatever she used to do, right? Those same people that despised her, those were the people she went to. Which gives a different meaning now to loving your enemies. She had that living water. And because she had that living water inside of her, she had Jesus. And because she had Jesus, she had love. Love conquers all. Even the people who hate you the most, who mistreat you, who do you wrong. Where is that in Matthew? Pray for those people. And that's what she did. The only thing that she needed to know was, what is it that God did with her? She wasn't a Bible scholar. She didn't go to seminary for 4, 6, 8 years to learn all the scriptures before she now was equipped to go out into the world, right? She didn't know a lot of scriptures. She knew about the Messiah. She knew she needed a Savior. She did not need to know the nature of God, the triune God, God three in one. She did not need to know that. There were a lot of things she didn't need to know. She didn't need to know the exact gospel story, the gospel message. She didn't need to know all of that. What did she do? She just went with what she had. She didn't need to know whether or not when she's resurrected in this new life, whether she's going to have a physical body or a spiritual body. She didn't need to know that. She didn't need to know the exact dimensions of the kingdom of God or when exactly the kingdom of God is going to be established on the earth. She didn't need to know that. The only thing she did knew was her Savior, the Messiah, was here. The Messiah had the water, right? The living water. That's the only thing she needed to know. And that's what she told them, her story. This is what happened. You know, it reminds me of the Apostle Paul. I keep saying, I love the brother, right? Because every single time you see an encounter with Paul and someone, the story starts out exactly the same. He says, well, here what happened to me, okay? I was on my way to Damascus. And I was going to kill me some Jews, some Christians, sorry, not Jews. I was about to kill me some Christians. Why? Because they are a perverted set of people, right? They pervert our way of life. And I was going to do God's work. I had the letter. And on my way to Damascus, I was struck down. That's Paul's testimony. And I dare say that every single one of us in here, we have a testimony. We know exactly where we've been. And we know where we are. We know where we're going. And if he did it for them, he'll do it for me, right? If he did it for you, he'll do it for them. You see, people who are drowning, they don't really care what color the boat is that's coming, right? Can you imagine somebody drowning and they say, oh, well, gloop, gloop, that boat is yellow. I don't do it yellow, okay? Could you send me a blue boat, please? Right? We don't care. We really don't care. You see, people who experience natural disasters, earthquake, you know, crumbling buildings and falling on top of people, and they're there. they don't really care what race the person is who's coming to move that rubble, do they? Do they really care about the person's politics? Really? No. In the whole scheme of things, it really doesn't matter. You know, it reminds me of the story. This person was warned. A flood was coming. The dam is going to break. Some of you are smiling. You know the story. But I'll tell it anyway. Okay? I'll tell Tessa. Here's how the story goes. Okay? The dam is going to break. There's going to be a great flood. Get out. I have faith, and I'm praying that God is going to save me. So the flood started to come. Right? And then what happens is that the authorities come in, and they're just, you know, bussing people out. I mean, water is now ankle deep. I have faith. God is going to come and save me. Water gets knee high. Trucks can't come anymore. Right? So what happens? Little boats and little canoes. Come on, get on board, get on board. I have faith. God is going to come and save me. I'll wait for God. And then pretty soon what happens is that the water rises and rises. And then, I mean, they have to increase in faith, right? God, help me. I know, please, God. And I know I believe in you. Hallelujah. And what happens? No, come on. The water rises again until it came so high that he had to climb up on top of the roof. Then a helicopter came. Come on board, come on board. No, I'm waiting for God. You see, in his case, there had to be a specific way that it was done. Then, of course, the waters came so high that it was over the roof, and then he died. So he went up to heaven and he's asking God. He said, God, why didn't you save me? He says, I warned you. I sent a car for you. I sent the military trucks and buses for you. I sent the canoe. I sent the boat. And then finally, I sent the helicopter for you. And then you just refused it all. Say, you did that? Yeah. You see, sometimes what happens is that blessings come. And when we look at it, we say, oh, no, that's not God. Remember that time you were coming from the grocery store, you had two bags in your hand. I don't know, I'm just making it up, right? You had two bags in your hand, and somebody came up and said, oh, can I get that door for you? I said, no, because you thought they were going to steal the car, right? We denied God's blessing. That was someone there to help you open the car, right? Simple things like that. You're walking, and you're going into the building, and someone holds the door open for you. That's a blessing from God. You see, we don't see these things as blessings, right? Because we are busy chasing after other things. We are busy in our head with all these different thoughts that all these people are just evil people. No, they're not. Some people ask the question, well, when I go out there, how am I going to know who is that one person that I'm going to disciple? Anyone ever asked that question? I'll tell the truth. I know I told Pastor that this year, one person, just one, I'm going to disciple. And you're wondering, who's that person? And you start searching your mind. Who's that person? You pull out your Rolodex. Sorry, you all don't know about Rolodex. What do you all use? What is it? Your what? iPhone or whatever it is. You see, Rolodex back in days where you actually had a pen and you wrote the name of someone with their telephone number and then you roll it over, right? I'm too young for that. I ain't going to expose you because you got me there on age, right? But the thing is that we start going through our mind, who is that person? Who is this person? Who is that person? But what does the scripture say? The scripture says that the harvest is ripe. Does it say that? Correct me if I'm wrong, right? If you think I'm lying, check the scriptures, okay? The harvest is ripe. Now, anyone ever seen a ripe harvest? Okay, I'm from the islands, right? Trinidad. We got oranges. We got grapefruit. But what I want to talk about is, I want to talk about sugarcane. Anyone been in a sugarcane plantation? Okay. So we have sugar cane. You open your door, sugar cane. You can close your eyes, run out into the sugar cane field, break one, and start eating it. You don't have to check to see, is this one ripe? No, it don't work like that. The harvest is ripe. Christ says the harvest is ripe. So what that means is we can just open up our door, run outside, and start talking to people. Really, because what happens is that we have this idea that, you know, okay, I say, good morning, my name is Kenneth, what do I say next? It doesn't have to be that way. All that has to happen is that we say, hi, how are you doing? God bless you, right? No one says you have to convert the person. We're not talking about that. Oh, sorry, that's way beyond our pay scale, right? We don't do the conversion. Who does the conversion? God. All we do is what? We just introduce. What is it that happened with this woman? She just introduced the people to Christ. That's all. And if you notice later on, it says, verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him, in Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. You see this? Let me read that again, just in case some of you all didn't get that. It didn't say, you know, one or two. It says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And what was her testimony? Simple. He told me everything I ever did. And goes on to say, so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed an extra 2 days. And what happens at the end of that? The story hasn't ended. That's bad English, okay? The story hasn't ended. It says, and because of his words, that's Jesus' words, many more became believers. So the issue of conversion and believing and things like that is we cannot make anybody believe. The only thing that we can do is make the introduction. Hey, hi. Hi, Sarah. My name is Kenneth. I want to introduce you to Jesus. Okay? Do you know him? You should see her up here blushing. The thing is that our job is not to convert. Our job is not to go and make people believe. We just do the introduction. Right? Christ is the one that does the conversion. Christ is the one that makes people believe. And then based on the belief, then discipleship starts. Does that make some sense? Okay, so here's what. I am now in verse 42. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard ourselves. Notice, we have heard ourselves. They believe in Christ now. And we know that this man really is the savior of the world. And what does that tell us? That tells us, listen, our job is really simple. He says the harvest is ripe. Just go and talk. That's all. Just go. You see, what happens is that we have this belief that other people are hardened. And from my experience, really, my experience is this. As human beings, I know there's no one in here like this, okay? I'm not talking about you all, right? It's not about you all. But in my experience, we have what we call a mask, right? Ain't nobody here got masks, right? We have this mask that we put on. And we want people to look at us and say, oh, you're a good person. God bless you. You're so fine. You're a real believer, right? You have no problems. None of y'all. Everybody is good. I don't have no financial problems because I'm a believer. Hallelujah, right? I don't have any health problems because I'm saved. Amen. I don't have any relationship issues because God is in me, and who is in me is greater than who is in the world. So I don't have any of those issues, right? Really? Because the last time I checked, I just want to check something out right now. Yeah, you still flesh. Yeah. I just checked. I had to double check, right? Because I think it's safe to say, based on the two people I just touched, right? I think we are still flesh. What did Jesus say about the flesh? About the heart? It's wicked. I mean, we do a good job of hiding it, okay? Because if we hide it, then nobody's going to think bad of us, right? And really, I don't want to know all your issues. I don't, really, okay? I got enough of mine, right? But the point I'm getting at is, as long as we're in the flesh, people, we are subject to corruption. The body will decay. Sorry, Walt Disney. Sorry. You're dead, okay? Ain't no coming back from that one. But you see, what happens is that we have this thought that when we meet people, that, you know, they're not going to engage us in conversation. Why? Because we ourselves, we judge people based on who we are. Is the true reason why I don't want to engage other people is because I'm not an engaging person? I don't know answers. I just ask questions, okay? Am I engaging? I haven't gotten the answer yet. So when we come to the point in our lives when we experience the love of God, can we of a fact say that, yes, God, I love you? Because what did Christ ask? How could you love me, who you can't see? And yet hate your brother, who you do see. If the love of God is in me truly, and if God is love truly, and God dwells in me truly, then it is impossible for me not to love others. Does that make sense? So, and then when we start loving other people, if we truly love other people, are we going to really want them to be suffering the way that they're suffering? Because here goes Miss Mabel, same angry old lady. Since I was a little jit coming up, she's been angry and she's still angry. I've stayed away from that one. Do I really love Miss Mabel? And that anger that she has, what is the reason for that anger? Maybe if I love her enough, I would take the time to understand her. Maybe if I love her enough, I would take that time to talk with her. Is she angry because she's lonely? And is she lonely because she's angry? God, cycle got to be cut. So if the love of God dwells fully in me as a human being, as a believer, as a disciple, then I would say that it is impossible for me not to go out and make other disciples. Because that's what love is. Love is introducing people and showing people that there's a different way. The way of life that you once lived, that you're now living, as Dr. Phil says, how's that working for you? And that's what we're about. We're about to show, about showing people that there's a new way, a different way. This is what this Samaritan woman understood. This is what she experienced. This is the work of Holy Spirit, that living water dwelling richly in her. And this is what she did as a result. Go tell somebody. I know that I asked some of you all to make a commitment. And you all did. And And I promise that we are going to give you the means to fulfill that commitment. As Christ says, I'm not going to just be sending you out as sheep to the slaughter, right? But we are in the business of equipping people. So I'm just going to share with you some of the things that's coming up in 2017. Okay. This year, we're going to have quite a bit of opportunities to do the right thing. It's okay. It's okay. I know how embarrassing it could be. It's okay. All right? That was just a word for someone else. You know who you are, right? It's funny. Anyway, this year, we're going to have quite a few opportunities to do new things. We're going to start Sunday school. February 1st, week in February, that's the date. Sunday school is going to start, not just for the kids, but adults. Right? Sunday school is where we come and we get some more learning going on. There are four specific texts, four specific books. I know when pastors come into areas, everybody wants, every pastor wants the entire congregation to read. And yes, I want you to read. Okay? There are four specific texts that we're going to be going through this year. I know that a few of you have been through this one. It's one called Experiencing God. During Wednesday night in the Word, we're going to be having an Experiencing God session. It takes 12 weeks. It's a 12-week commitment, and I guarantee that you will come out of there a changed person. If you allow Holy Spirit to do its work, you can say amen now.
Amen.
Right. Second work I'm going to encourage you to look at is one called When God's People Pray. Because that's who we are. And a lot of us have decided that, I don't know how to pray. I don't say those nice words. It ain't about the words. It's about the heart, right? Because we already have an intercessor, right? We have a go-between. Jesus Christ is the person, right? The third work, In His Footsteps. And the fourth one, I forgot. That's not the name of the book, okay? That's right. You see why I have a wife? The Irresistible Church. Now, don't get me wrong. At the sound of the word, of the text, of the book, it sounds as though we are creating this church that would be irresistible to the community. No, the text is about the church that is irresistible to God. The church that God just loves upon, right? And as a result of being that irresistible church, the church that is irresistible to God, what happens is that it becomes irresistible to the neighborhood also. So that's our focus. What I intend to do is the church will purchase the books, and you can get them from the church so that everybody doesn't have to go all out there, and we could probably get a group discount, but more details on that later on. Wednesday in the Word will continue. Saturday prayer, we have, I think, this coming year, how many prayer vigils do we have planned? Is it three or four? Three. We have three prayer vigils, and we also have the community prayer walk that we will be doing on Saturdays. Leadership development. The church, we need, so, okay. I always have to be careful how I say this, but we're an aging congregation. We're getting old, right? Me, I'm a young 54. Right? But I'm old. We need some new blood inside here. We need these young people. I tied Pick on Sarah. I picked on Sarah all morning, okay? But I've picked on her again. Yeah? We need new people. Church needs growth. And some of the things that I'm praying for, and some of us are praying for, is we are praying for an upsurgence of youth. I can't go out to these youth and say, What's up? I'm going to be seen as an old dude trying to look young, right? I'm way past that. So we need some young folk, right? We need younger people to get more involved in ministry. I hate to say it, but I'm too old. Right? We need young folk. And one of the things that we're praying for is we're praying for a youth pastor. We need a youth pastor, full-time paid. Comes out of your pocket, right? Full-time paid youth pastor, right? we are looking in terms of interns from the universities and things like that, but just something to keep praying about. Because once the youth starts moving, right, we're going to have a resurgence. I mean, I have a dream, right, that on Friday nights, that this place be just packed with youth. Make all the noise you want to make, right? You want to play your music at, what's the highest decibel level? Okay? A Googleplex of decibels, right? You want to play loud music. Praise God, you will jump, run over the ceilings. Well, actually, if you run on the ceiling, you made it already, okay? Right? But I would love to see that. Because do you think that there's a place that we can provide on a Friday night for Harvey community? Because, I mean, we've driven around a couple of times and there ain't nothing going on Friday night, right? Can we provide a place here, a safe place, where kids could come in, have a good time, experience God, experience a good time, and then go on with their business, right? So the dream is to infuse youth. The focus is the youth. I mean, you old already. I don't think I need to remind you. You old. You had your time. Our time is done, right? We're up to here with knowledge about the word, right? Really, we got to invest in these younger people. Amen? Amen. So that's where the focus is going to be for 2017. We're also going to have youth camp. We're also going to have shut-ins. That's where we lock the door and set the place on fire. I don't mean literal fire, okay? Right? How does that song go? This girl is on fire. If you don't sing it, I will. Okay? April 9th. Write it down. April 9th. The youth are going to be conducting the services. I take a day off, right? I get a break. I'm going to sit somewhere on the back there, you know, kick up my feet and enjoy listening to the word from one of y'all, right? I don't know who it's going to be yet. Michael. You know, I used to teach, right? I just love when you're trying to make eye contact with a student and they turn their eyes from you, right? Because I see Catherine back there. And I'm really looking forward to getting the word from you, girl. Now, I'm not sure if you're all aware of this, but our youth, they are incredibly talented, incredibly gifted people, right? And really, I think that it's time that, you know, we start to, we old folks, just start to move to the side and make some space, right? I'll give up some sermon time. Y'all might want to dock my pay, but I'll give up some sermon time. Mike is back there saying, yeah, we dock your pay. I'm not paying you to hear no kids speak. Okay. So we have a lot of good things lined up for the future. In coming in this summer, I guess the tag that's been on it in my mind is Summer with the Shepherds. We're Shepherds Community Church, and it's the summer, you get it? Summer with the Shepherds, where we open up the doors to the community. We're going to have the bounce houses and the little carnival thing going on and all that type of stuff. And I want to do it for free, right? Where the community comes in, you don't have to pay, right? The community comes in, they don't have to pay. You see, that's what I want. Right? And if you pray hard enough, we could probably get it. Do you think we can have? Do you think we can do that? Good answer. She said yes. We can do that. We can do that. Right? Because do you know why she said yes? Because she knows who her God is. She knows what her daddy got, and all you have to do is to ask him. Right? Say, Dad, can I get a Lamborghini? No. Okay. So there are going to be a lot of things that we're going to be doing that would help prepare us for what we for this just one discipling, just one in 2017. Shepherd's Community Church, we have a large task ahead of us. Humongous task. We can't do it. That sounds very negative, right? It's a reality. The job that lies ahead of us, we can't do it. And that's what we call, that's what Lionel called a God-sized job. The only way this job could be accomplished is if God is involved. And what I want to encourage us to do is to stay in prayer and keep recognizing that God is the one who does it. The old saying goes that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with just one step. There's a story of a man moving a mountain, young man moving a mountain, one wheelbarrow full of dirt at a time, just one. When you go into all the world, preaching the gospel unto all nations, just one person at a time. So all I want you to do is, I want you to be successful in this one New Year's resolution. I mean, you can do the weight, I almost said weight gain, sorry. Well, some of us need that weight gain. I mean, I could do the weight gain thing. You could do the weight loss thing, right? You can do the being nice to people thing. You can do the stop smoking thing. You could do the increased running thing, or whatever it is that it is, right? That's great. I really wish you success, but the one resolution that I need you to be successful in, that Jesus is depending on you to be successful in, just one. We on board with that? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, great God, we are saying, here we are. Send us. God, you love us so much. You love us so much, great God in heaven, that you are even very forgiving to those individuals who are talking right now. We ask, great God in heaven, that you would forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our trespasses and forgive us, great God in heaven. But help us so that we can use our experiences and what you've done for us as a means to help others. Because if you did it for us, great God, you can do it for them too. And you will. And you told us that the harvest is ripe. We just got to go pick that thing. So we thank you, great God in heaven. And we pray, Father in heaven, that as we go through this week, that you would guide us, that you would show us, great God in heaven, that you would live in us so that we would know exactly what words to say for that hope that lies within us. We thank you, great God in heaven, and we praise you. We praise you for this message in the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.